الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، فيقول الشيخ محمد بن عبد الوهاب رحمه الله بعد أن قرر التوحيد الذي دعت إليه الرسل وبين أن توحيد الربوبية أمر كان معلوما عند الكفر والمشركين الذين بعث إليهم الأنبياء والمرسلون، قال رحمه الله: إذا عرفت ما ذكرت لك معرفة قلب، أي عرفت معنى لا إله إلا الله معرفة حقيقية يترتب عليها إيمانك بمعناها الذي هو لا معبود بحق إلا الله، وعرفت الشرك بالله الذي قال الله فيه: إن الله لا يغفر أن يشرك به ويغفر ما دون ذلك لمن يشاء، أي إذا عرفت معنى لا إله إلا الله وعرفت الشرك الخطير الذي قال الله فيه بأنه لا يغفر أن يشرك به، فعرفت الشرك الذي لا يغفره الله وعرفت معنى هذه الكلمة، وقال: وعرفت دين الله الذي أرسل به الرسل من أولهم إلى آخرهم، وهو دين التوحيد، أرسلهم جميعا بكلمة لا إله إلا الله الذي لا يقبل الله من أحد دينا سواه، لأن الله سبحانه وتعالى قال: وما أرسلنا من قبلك من رسول إلا نوحي إليه أنه لا إله إلا أنا فاعبدون، وقال الله سبحانه وتعالى في هذا الدين: ومن يبتغي غير الإسلام دينا فلن يقبل منه، وقال سبحانه: إن الدين عند الله الإسلام، فهذا الدين لا يقبل الله سبحانه وتعالى دينا سواه، فمن لم يكن من أهله فهو كافر وله نصيب من قوله تعالى: إن الله لا يغفر أن يشرك به. قال: وعرفت ما أصبح غالب الناس فيه من الجهل بهذا، أيضا وإذا عرفت أن غالب الناس يجهلون هذه المعاني التي ذكرناها، قال: إذا عرفت ذلك كله أفادك فائدتين. نعم، تفضل حبيبنا.
زاد الله في فضلكم. الشيخ جزاه الله خيرا. He began by praising Allah and issuing the exaltations and the greetings upon the foremost from all the children of Adam, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. And then he said, the author begins stating, after having already established the fact that the tawheed that the messengers of Allah called their people to is the tawheed of deification and worship to Allah alone without partners, and establishing also the fact that the mushrikeen, the polytheists and the disbelievers who the messengers were sent to were already familiar with and believers in the tawheed regarding the lordship of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. After having established this, he says, if you are now familiar with that which I have mentioned to you and you know it with your heart, meaning that you know the meaning of la ilaha illallah, and you know, the author continues, and you know the shirk regarding the worship of Allah, that Allah stated regarding, indeed Allah does not forgive that any be associated with He in worship, and forgives lesser than that to whomever He wills. Meaning, you recognize the gravity of shirk, and you recognize that it is an affair that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has deemed very serious, and one that is not forgiven even through His vast mercy. And then the author says, and you recognize that the deen of Allah, the religion of Allah, that He sent with all His messengers from their first to their last, that Allah will not accept from anyone a religion other than it. The Shaykh comments here, he says, and this is regarding the statement of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and surely we have not sent before you a messenger, except that we reveal to him that surely there's no deity besides I, so worship me. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says regarding this religion, the religion of Tawheed, and he who seeks other than Islam as a religion, then it will not be accepted from him. And surely in the hereafter he will be from the losers. So this is what he means when he says that this is the religion of all the messengers, that Allah does not accept any religion besides it. The author continues and he says, and you are now familiar with that which most of people have fallen into in terms of ignorance regarding these facts and this information. If you are familiar with all the aforementioned, it will gain you two benefits. تفضلوا شيخنا.
قال رحمه الله أفادك فائدتين. الأولى الفرح بفضل الله ورحمته، كما قال تعالى قل بفضل الله وبرحمته فبذلك فليفرحوا هو خير مما يجمعون. هذه الفائدة الأولى، أن الله تعالى فتح عليك حتى عرفت المعنى الصحيح لكلمة لا إله إلا الله، وعرفت معنى هذه الكلمة وآمنت بها وصدقت، فهذه نعمة عظيمة امتن الله بها عليك، نعمة العلم بمعنى هذه الكلمة، هذا المعنى الذي جهله من جهله من كثير ممن يدعون الذكاء من علماء هذه الأمة وفسروها على غير وجهها الصحيح مخالفة لمنهج السلف في فهمهم لأدلة الكتاب والسنة. قد فتح الله عليك وفهمت ما فهمه أصحاب النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ومن اتبعهم بإحسان، هذه نعمة ومنة كبيرة من الله عليك، وهذا يقتضي الفرح بذلك. قل بفضل الله وبرحمته فبذلك فليفرحوا هو خير مما يجمعون. فالفرح يكون بنعم الله وبفضله وبرحمته على العبد، خصوصا في أمور الدين التي ينال من ورائها خيري الدنيا والآخرة. والفرح بطاعة الله هذا قربى لله سبحانه وتعالى، وهذا أمر ممدوح محبوب، فقد قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم للصائم فرحتان، فرحة عند فطره وفرحة عند لقاء ربه. فالعبد المؤمن يفرح بطاعة الله تبارك وتعالى وبمنه عليه وكرمه. أي نعم، تفضلوا حفظكم الله.
الله يزيد فضلكم وإياكم حفظ شيخنا. شيخ جزاه الله خيرا. He stated from the words of the author that he said رحمه الله تعالى, having established all the foregoing, this will gain you two benefits of knowledge, the first of which is to become overjoyed by the blessing of Allah and His mercy upon you. As Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, say to them, or say, by the blessings of Allah and His mercy, through that let them be joyous. Surely it is better than that which they amass. So Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala clarifies to us that this is the greatest of His givings and the greatest of His blessings. The Shaykh comments, Jazahullah Khairan, he says, you should be overjoyed that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has opened up for you a knowledge that has been hidden from many others. The knowledge of the meaning, the true meaning of La ilaha illallah. Having understood it and then having believed in it and not rejected it. This is from the greatest of the givings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the giving of knowledge and faith. And surely this is an affair that remains hidden from many of the people. And surely many are ignorant regarding of the meaning of La ilaha illallah. Even those who claim to be the people of intelligence, the people of knowledge and the people of study in mankind, many of them are severely ignorant of the meaning of La ilaha illallah. Yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed this knowledge upon you. And Allah azza wa jal has chosen you to be from amongst the believers in this knowledge. So surely this is from the greatest of the virtues of Allah upon you. And surely this type of joy is pleasing to Allah. And it is a joy that is not looked down upon or disliked, but rather to be overjoyed regarding the gifts of Allah upon a man, especially so the gifts of religion, because they are the gifts that reap the rewards in both the dunya and the akhirah. This is surely something that is praiseworthy. As the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, لِصَائِمِ فَرْحَتَانِ, a fasting man will become joyed twice. The first of which is when he breaks his fast, and the second is when he meets his Lord. So the Messenger ﷺ mentioned here the joy that will be experienced by a man who used to fast in the dunya when he meets Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Tafadhal shaykh.
قال المؤلف رحمه الله الفائدة الثانية قال وأفادك أيضا الخوف العظيم فإنك إذا عرفت أن الإنسان يكفر بكلمة يخرجها من لسانه وقد يقولها وهو جاهل فلا يعذر بالجهل وقد يقولها وهو يظن أنها تقربه إلى الله كما كان ظن المشركون كما كان ظن المشركون خصوصا إن ألهمك الله ما قص عن قوم موسى مع صلاحهم وعلمهم أنهم أتوه قائلين أجعل لنا إلها كما لهم آلهة فحينئذ يعظم خوفك وحرصك على ما يخلصك من هذا وأمثاله. يقول المؤلف بالنسبة للفائدة الثانية إذا عرفت ما تقدم أفادك الخوف العظيم أي أنك تخاف خوفا عظيما. ما سبب الخوف؟ أنك تخشى أن يتفوتك فهم هذه الكلمة فهما صحيحا وتفهمها كما فهمها من فهمها بالمعنى الباطل لا المعنى الصحيح لها أو المعنى الخاطئ الذي فسروها عليه لا المعنى الصحيح فسروها بأنه لا خالق ولا رازق ولا مدبر إلا الله. فهؤلاء يظنون أن هذا المعنى الذي فهموه معنى صحيحا يقربهم إلى الله وهو خطأ، وهذا المعنى غير صحيح لهذه الكلمة. فأنت تخشى على نفسك أن يكون حالك كحال هؤلاء أو كحال قوم من قوم موسى الذين كان فيهم خير وفيهم صلاح وقالوا لموسى أجعل لنا إلها كما لهم اجعل لنا إلها كما لهم آلهة. فهؤلاء من الجهل أن طلبوا من موسى مثل هذا الطلب الذي فيه شرك ومخالفة لدعوة موسى عليه السلام. فأنت تخشى على نفسك من ذلك. ونرجع أيضا إلى ما قاله المؤلف من أنك تخشى أيضا أن تقع في الكفر فتقول كلمة الكفر وتجدي على لسانك وأنت جاهل فلا تعذر بجهلك، كقول في قوله إن الإنسان يكفر بكلمة يخرجها من لسانه وقد يقولها وهو جاهل فلا يعذر بالجهل. هذا الكلام حفظكم الله غير صحيح، هذا الكلام غير صحيح. فالعذر بالجهل أمر مقرر بأدلة صحيحة من الكتاب والسنة، والسلف الصالح رضي الله عنهم على ذلك. فقد قال الله سبحانه في كتابه الكريم وما كنا معذبين حتى نبعث رسولا وما كنا معذبين حتى نبعث رسولا وقال وما كان ربك مهلك القرى حتى يبعث في أمها رسولا يتلو عليهم آياتنا وما كنا مهلك القرى إلا وأهلها ظالمون. وقال سبحانه رسلا مبشرين ومنذرين لئلا يكون للناس على الله حجة بعد الرسل. وقال أيضا وما أرسلنا من رسول إلا بلسان قومه ليبين لهم فيضل الله من يشاء ويهدي من يشاء. والآيات في هذا المعنى والأحاديث كثيرة تدل على أن الجاهل معذور حتى تأتيه الرسالة، وهذا أمر مقرر عند السلف. إذا قرأتم كلامهم تجدونه فيه واضحا لا خفاء فيه. وقد تعلق بمسألة عدم العذر بالجهل طائفتان، طائفة كفروا المسلمين وغلوا في ذلك واستباحوا دماءهم بحجة عدم العذر بالجهل، وطائفة ثانية رموا من يعذر بالجهل بالإرجاء وادعوا أنه من المرجئة، وقولهم مع خطئه وبطلانه أيضا يتجاوزون الحد في مخالفهم ويرمونه بالأباطيل. بارك الله فيكم. فنحذر من الطائفة الأولى، طائفة التكفيريين والخوارج، والطائفة الثانية طائفة الحدادية. أي نعم. وما ذكره الشيخ هنا هو الذي يتعلق به من يتعلق من الحدادية والتكفيريين، ويدعون أن الشيخ لا يعذر بالجهل، وللشيخ كلام في مواضع أخرى من كتبه واضحة تدل على أنه يعذر بالجهل، ولعله في هذا الموطن يريد أن الشخص الذي لا يعذر بالجهل هو الذي يتيسر له العلم ولا يطلبه ولا يبحث عنه. إن أراد المؤلف هذا فهو صحيح. أي نعم، إذا كان الشخص في بلاد فيها علماء وفيها علم منتشر وفعل الفعل الكفري ولا يسأل عنه، مثل هذا إذا كان الفعل الكفري منتشر ومعلوم وخطر في باله أنه ربما يكون كفرا، فهذا لا شك أنه يكفر حتى لو كان جاهلا به. فإذا أراد المؤلف هذا المعنى وهذا الظاهر، لأنه في كلامه الآخر في مواضع أخرى يعذر بالجهل بشكل واضح في كلامه رحمه الله، فلا بد إذن من فهم كلامه فهما صحيحا. وإذا لم يرد ذلك فقد أخطأ على كل حال. أي نعم، فلا يتعلق أحد بكلام أحد من البشر، إنما العبرة بالدليل. أي نعم، بارك الله فيكم. تفضل حفظك الله.
وإياكم حفظ شيخنا. يا شيخ جزاه الله خيرا. He continues reading from the words of the author that it also gains you a second benefit, and that being the great and tremendous fear of Allah. For surely, if you come to learn that a man could become a disbeliever, a kafir, through a word that comes out of his mouth and he does not say it necessarily always intentionally, perhaps he may say it ignorant of its grievous effects, and then his ignorance will not help him any and he will still be held accountable for it. And perhaps a man may say it thinking that this is an act of worship that will bring him closer to Allah Azza wa Jal, as the polytheists used to think. Especially so if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you an understanding regarding that which He has told us of the affair of Musa with his people, especially given their piety and their knowledge. Yet despite that, they came to him saying, اجعل لنا إلها كما لهم آلهة. Make for us a deity to worship, as they have several deities, pointing to the polytheists. They said, make for us an idol as well. It is at that time when you contemplate all of this that your fear and your keenness will be both become great to achieve that and obtain that which will save you from the like of this and that which is similar to it. The Shaykh Jazahullah Khairan comments regarding the words of the author. He says, you fear after having recognized all of this because you start worrying regarding this understanding leaving you. And so you end up understanding La ilaha illallah as those who think it means that there's no Lord besides Allah, that there's no one who creates, sustains, and provides besides Allah, which is exactly the understanding that the polytheists had that did not enter them into Islam. And this is a false understanding that this is the meaning of La ilaha illallah, for surely La ilaha illallah has more meaning to it than just that. So you fear regressing back into such an understanding, and likewise you fear falling into an affair similar to the affair of the people of Musa, who out of ignorance said to Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, make for us an idol, a deity to worship, just like those people have idols and have deities that they worship. So Allah Jalla wa Ala showed how their ignorance led them to saying such a thing. Going back to the words of the author, that one may say it ignorant of its severity, and that will not deem him unaccountable, and he will be accounted for. He said, this is a mistake. This is an incorrect statement. For surely, an ignorant man is not accounted for that which he falls into. And this is an affair that is established by the text of the Quran and the text of the Sunnah, and the affair of the Salaf and their understanding, the pious predecessors, is upon this. This is due to the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the book, وَمَا كُنَّا مُعَذِّبِينَ حَتَّى نَبْعَثَ رَسُولًا. And surely we would not torture until we first send a messenger. And also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا كَانَ رَبُّكَ مُهْلِكَ الْقُرَى حَتَّى يَبْعَثَ فِي أُمِّهَا رَسُولًا. And surely Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not annihilate the villages until he sends in the main one a messenger. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, رُسُلًا مُبَشِّرِينَ وَمُنذِرِينَ لِئَلَّا يَكُونَ لِلنَّاسِ حُجَّةٌ عَلَى اللَّهِ بَعْدَ الرُّسُلِ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, messengers giving glad tidings and warning, such that people will not have excuse before Allah after the messengers. And Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ رَسُولٍ إِلَّا بِلِسَانِ قَوْمِهِ لِيُبَيِّنَ لَهُمْ. And surely we have not sent a messenger except that he talks to them in the tongue, in their tongue, in the tongue of his people, such that he can clarify for them the affair. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes away their excuses and removes from them the excuse of ignorance, and then and only then are they liable for the torment. And the evidences are abundant regarding this affair, and the understanding of the Salaf is very clear, the pious predecessors, regarding this affair. It is abundantly found in their words that they used to hold a valid excuse for one who is ignorant. Unfortunately, there are two types of people who have held on tenaciously to this issue and said that one who is ignorant does not have an excuse. The first of these groups is the Haddadiyya and the Takfiriyya, who deem the blood of the Muslimin halal due to the fact that whenever a Muslim makes a mistake out of ignorance, they would hold them fully accountable for such a mistake, and then they would deem their blood to be halal, and that they are not sacred in blood, not sacred in money, and they would fight and kill the Muslimin due to this. And the second group are those who hold the same opinion and go above and beyond that, and they say whoever holds the other opinion, that ignorance is a valid excuse, are murji'ah. They are a group that have a flaw in their understanding regarding the affair of the faith. So they deem them to be mistaken in the affair of the faith, whoever says that ignorance is a valid excuse. However, these two affairs are affairs that we should beware of. We should not fall into either the affair of the Takfiris and the Haddadiyya, who want to deem all types of people as disbelievers, nor do we want to fall into the affair of these innovators who attempt to make others into innovators for believing that there is an excuse for the ignorant. And this that has been mentioned by the Shaykh, they hold on to it tenaciously, despite the fact that the Shaykh has words in other places that clarify and make very clear his stance regarding ignorance, that it is a valid excuse. It is very clear in other places, in other speech of the Shaykh, in other fatawa and books of his, that he deems ignorance a valid excuse. However, they will hold on to this particular statement of his here, and they will ignore the rest. And what is apparent from the Shaykh's statement here is that what he intends to say are those who are ignorant despite the abundance of knowledge around them, such that they are in a place where scholars are abundant and available and knowledge is widespread and made easy to obtain, and they fall into something that in their hearts they suspect is kufr and shirk, and they do not seek the knowledge of that, nor do they seek to learn something that is clearly known to the layman in those areas, that this is kufr and shirk. However, despite their ignorance, they do not go and seek the knowledge of it. Then this type of man, his ignorance is not a valid excuse for him. This is what is apparent from the words of the Shaykh. And if the Shaykh intended otherwise, that he intended that there is no excuse for the ignorant, then the Shaykh made a mistake. And surely, we do not get biased to individuals and follow them when they make mistakes, but rather we follow the truth. تفضل شيخ.
قال المؤلف رحمه الله: واعلم أن الله سبحانه من حكمته لم يبعث نبيا بهذا التوحيد إلا جعل له أعداء، كما قال تعالى: وكذلك جعلنا لكل نبي عدوا شياطين الإنس والجن يوحي بعضهم إلى بعض زخرف القول غرورا. يريد المؤلف من هذا أن يقول بأنه ما من نبي بعثه الله بدعوة الحق إلا وكان له أعداء يحاربونه ويحاولون أن يبطلوا دعوته وأن يبطلوا ما يدعو له لحظوظ أنفسهم، لكن الله سبحانه وتعالى ناصر للحق ومؤيد له، فينتصر الحق دائما على الباطل وتقوم الحجة به على العباد، وكما يحصل مع الأنبياء كذلك يحصل مع أتباعهم. هذا الذي يهمنا الآن، ما يحصل مع الأنبياء من وجود أعداء لهم كذلك يحصل مع أتباعهم، فيوجد لكل تابع للأنبياء يدعو إلى دعوة الحق يوجد له أعداء يحاربونه ويحاولون إبطال دعوته. هذا ما أراد أن يقوله المؤلف هنا. نعم تفضل.
الله يزيد فضلكم. شيخ جزاه الله خيرا. Reciting from the words of the author رحمه الله تعالى where he said and know that Allah, exalted is He, out of His wisdom, has never sent a messenger or a prophet with this calling to the oneness of Allah, to the tawheed of Allah in His worship, except that Allah would also make for him enemies, as Allah stated in the book, Elevated is He. And likewise, we have made for every prophet enemies from amongst the devils of mankind and the jinn kind, reciting to each other, inspiring to each other, ornamented words to fool one another. Shaykh Jazahullah Khairan, he clarifies this verse. He says the author, Rahimahullah Ta'ala, intends to show you that it is from the affair of Allah and it is from the habit of Allah that never would He send a messenger calling to the oneness of Allah in worship, except that He likewise would test this messenger with the devils of mankind and jinnkind who seek to fight Him and to fight His calling, and to deem it a calling that is based upon falsehood, and to attempt to distort the haqq, the truth that He is calling to, for their own agendas, and for their own pleasures and that which they seek. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would then defeat them, for surely Allah wants the truth to come out on top, and wants the truth to become known. And so, this is the habit of Allah with the prophets. However, the author wants you to know that just like it happens to the prophets, it likewise happens to the followers of the prophets. And this is what concerns us. For surely whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will test the prophets with, likewise the followers who follow tenaciously in the footsteps of the prophets will also be tested with the same. تفضل شيخ.
يقول: وقد يكون لأعداء التوحيد علوم كثيرة وكتب وحجج، كما قال الله تعالى: فلما جاءتهم رسلهم بالبينات فرحوا بما عندهم من العلم. إذا عرفت ذلك وعرفت أن الطريق إلى الله لا بد له من أعداء قاعدين عليه أهل فصاحة وعلم وحجج، فالواجب عليك أن تتعلم من دين الله ما يصير لك سلاحا تقاتل به هؤلاء الشياطين الذين قال إمامهم ومقدمهم لربك عز وجل: لا أقعدن لهم صراطك المستقيم، ثم لآتينهم من بين أيديهم ومن خلفهم وعن أيمانهم وعن شمائلهم ولا تجد أكثرهم شاكرين. هنا يقول: قد عرفت فيما تقدم من كلامه أنه لابد لكل من قام مقام الأنبياء ودعا إلى دعوتهم من وجود أعداء له يحاربونه، كما وجد للأنبياء أعداء لهم يحاربونه. قال: وهؤلاء الأعداء عندهم من الأسلحة التي يحاربون بها ما عندهم، فعندهم علوم يحاربون بها أهل التوحيد ويحاربون بها أهل الحق. قال: وقد يكون لأعداء التوحيد علوم كثيرة وكتب وحجج، فلهم حجج، لهم براهين، لهم كتب يأخذون منها حججهم. أي نعم، لذلك يجب أن يكون عندك سلاح تستطيع أن تقاتل به هؤلاء. وهنا السلاح ليس سيفا ولا مسدسا، وإنما هو سلاح العلم. فالحجة لا تقرع إلا بالحجة، والفهم لا يحارب إلا بالفهم. أي نعم، فلا بد أن يكون لك عندك من العلم، وتتسلح من العلم بما تستطيع أن تجابه به هؤلاء وأن تحارب به هؤلاء. قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه الكريم لنبيه صلى الله عليه وسلم: وجاهدهم به جهادا كبيرا. جاهد من؟ جاهد الكفار وجاهد المنافقين، جاهدهم به ماذا؟ جهادا بماذا؟ بالقرآن. كيف يكون الجهاد بالقرآن؟ القرآن ليس سيفا ولكنه علم، فيكون الجهاد بأن تتعلم ما فيه من أحكام، وأن تتعلم ما فيه من عقائد، وأن تعرف ما فيه من حجج، وتجادل أهل الباطل بها فتدحض الباطل وتحق الحق. قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في كتابه الكريم: فلما جاءتهم رسلهم بالبينات فرحوا بما عندهم من العلم وحاق بهم ما كانوا به يستهزئون. يفرحون بما عندهم من علم ومن حجج، فأنت تقارعهم بماذا؟ بالحجة التي عندك، وحجتك أقوى من حجتهم، فحجتك حجة حق وحجتهم حجة باطل. كما أن سيدهم وقائدهم له سلاح يحاجج به ويقاوم به، وهو الشيطان. لذلك ذكره المؤلف في الأخير، قال تقاتل به هؤلاء الشياطين الذين قال إمامهم ومقدمهم لربك عز وجل: لأقعدن لهم صراطك المستقيم، ثم لآتينهم من بين أيديهم ومن خلفهم وعن أيمانهم وعن شمائلهم ولا تجد أكثرهم شاكرين. فهذا هو سيدهم وقائدهم، وهو الشيطان، وهو الذي يلقنهم كثيرا من حججهم التي يحتجون بها على أهل الحق. نعم.
جزاكم الله خير. جزاكم الله خير. And continued saying from the words of the author: and perhaps these enemies of monotheism, the enemies of the Tawheed, the worship of Allah alone, may have great deals of knowledge and books and arguments, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said. So when their messengers came to them with the clear verses, the clear signs, they became joyed with that which they had previously of knowledge. So in other words, their joy with the knowledge they had prior to the revelations that the messengers brought forth made them turn away from the revelation of Allah, made them fight it and stand against it. If you come to recognize this, the author says, and then you know that the path to Allah, it is a must that upon that path there will be enemies sitting upon it, seeking to stop you from crossing the path to Allah. Enemies who have eloquence and knowledge and good arguments, then it is upon you to learn from the religion of Allah that which becomes a weapon for you, that you fight with these enemies, these devils that sit on the path of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. The Shaykh says, if you know this, and you know that everyone who stands on the same pulpit that the prophets have stood on, the pulpit of calling to the monotheism, to the worship of Allah alone, then you must recognize that surely this man will have enemies exactly like the prophets of Allah had enemies. And you must recognize that these enemies have weapons with which they go to this war and they fight this battle. And these enemies have prepared for themselves weapons of knowledge and books and solid arguments. However, it is upon you to prepare for yourself weapons to meet them as well. And this weapon that you will prepare is surely not a sword, nor is it a gun, but rather it is knowledge. For surely an argument cannot be refuted except with a counter argument that is better than it. And knowledge cannot be removed and eradicated except through knowledge that is more rightful than it. So you must obtain and gain knowledge and grow in knowledge that will become for you a weapon with which you will fight the batil and the falsehood that these people are upon. Knowledge with which you can debate and refute that which they bring to bring confusion upon mankind and that which they want to refute the message of Allah with. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to His Messenger, وَجَاهِدُهُمْ بِهِ جِهَادًا كَبِيرًا, and fight them with it, meaning the Qur'an, a great battle. How do you fight with the Qur'an? Surely the Qur'an is not a sword. You fight with the knowledge contained within it. You fight because the Qur'an is knowledge. You fight by recognizing the legislation of the Qur'an, recognizing the creed of the Qur'an, recognizing the solid and bright as the sun arguments found in the Qur'an, so that you can give victory to the truth, and so that you can defend it, and such that you can crush the falsehood through the arguments of the Qur'an. And it is as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clarified, that these people, who their master and their leader, and the one that is foremost from amongst them, which is the shaitan, and this is what the author will say next, the shaitan who is their imam, and the foremost from amongst them, he said to Allah Azza wa Jal, لَأَقْعُدَنَّ لَهُمْ صِرَاطَكَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ, surely I will sit for them on your straight path, and then I will come to them from before them, meaning in front of them, and from behind them, and from their rights and from their lefts, and you will not find most of them grateful. So, the author continues saying, but if you turn to Allah, and you listen carefully and intently with focus, to the arguments of Allah and His clear signs and verses, then surely fear not, nor be sad. Indeed, the plotting of the shaitan was weak. The Shaykh explains that exactly as the shaitan has weapons, and he fortifies his legions and his allies with these false arguments, then likewise we prepare our own weaponry of knowledge so that we can stand in the face of this falsehood and argue it and crush it and return it back to where it came from. Tafadhalu Shaykh.
ثم قال رحمه الله ولكن إذا أقبلت على الله وأصغيت إلى حججه وبيناته فلا تخف ولا تحزن إن كيد الشيطان كان ضعيفا. يعني لا يهولك أمر أهل الباطل من أن عندهم حجج وعندهم براهين وعندهم علم يتكلمون فيه وشبهات يلقونها, هذا كله لا شيء. إذا أقبلت على الله وأخلصت العمل له وأصغيت إلى حججه وبيناته, يعني أصغلت إلى أدلة الكتاب والسنة وتأملت فيها وفهمتها فهما صحيحا, فلا تخف ولا تحزن, عندئذ ستعلم أن الحق هو الذي سيظهر وهو الذي سيتمكن من القلوب, وأن هذه الحجج التي عندهم كلها ستزول عندما تتأمل في كتاب الله وفي سنة الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم. إن كيد الشيطان كان ضعيفا, فمهما حاول أن يلبس على العباد بشبهاته وشبهات جنده فهي لا تعد أن تبقى أن تكون شبهات ترد بحجج الكتاب والسنة. قال والعام من الموحدين يغلب ألفا من علماء هؤلاء المشركين, كما قال تعالى وإن جندنا لهم الغالبون. العام من الموحدين, من الذين يوحدون الله, يوحدونه في ربوبيته وفي ألوهيته وفي أسمائه وصفاته, العامي الواحد. قال يغلب ألفا من علماء هؤلاء المشركين, لأن علمهم علم شبهات ليس علم حجة وبرهان حقيقي. أما العام فبفطرته يغلب هؤلاء الذين يتخبطون بأدلة عقلية لا زمام لها, وإنما يعتمد العام على ما فطره الله عليه وعلى الحجة التي يتعلمها من كتاب الله ومن سنة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. قال فجند الله هم الغالبون بالحجة واللسان, كما أنهم الغالبون بالسيف والسنان. جند الله هم الموحدون المؤمنون. قال هم الغالبون بالحجة واللسان, هم الذين يغلبون أهل الباطل بالأدلة الصحيحة من الكتاب والسنة وباللسان بالمجادلة بالحق يغلبون أهل الباطل، كما أنهم الغالبون بالسيف والسنان، كما أنهم يغلبون أيضا في الجهاد وفي المعارك التي بالأيدي، كذلك يغلبون في المعارك التي باللسان. فالجهاد نوعان، جهاد لسان وجهاد سنان، جهاد بالكلام وهو مجادلة أهل الباطل وإقامة الحجة والبراهين على الحق، وجهاد بالسنان وهو جهاد السيف، مقارعة أهل الكفر في المعارك. هما جهادان عظيمان، وقد سمى الله سبحانه وتعالى الأول جهادا بقوله وجاهدهم به جهادا كبيرا. هاي نعم. قال وإنما الخوف على الموحد الذي يسلك الطريق وليس معه سلاح. هذا الذي يخاف عليه أن يقع في شبهات أهل الباطل، فهو ليس معه سلاح، ليس عنده علم بأدلة الكتاب والسنة، فإذا ألقيت عليه شبهة تلقفها وتشربها قلبه فضاع. قال وقد من الله علينا بكتابه الذي جعله تبيانا لكل شيء وهدى ورحمة وبشرى للمسلمين. من الله علينا به بالقرآن الذي جعل فيه الحجج والبراهين القوية على بيان الحق، فالحق بين ظاهر بما بينه الله به من أدلة وبراهين في الكتاب وفي سنة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. فهذا هو سلاحنا الذي نقارع به أهل الباطل من أهل البدع والضلال ومن أهل الكفر والإلحاد والشرك. أي نعم، تفضل حفظكم الله.
الله يزيد فضلك. الشيخ جزاه الله خيرا. He continued reciting from the words of the author. However, if you turn to Allah and listen intently and carefully to His clear signs, clear verses and proofs and arguments, then surely there is no fear nor is there sadness upon you. Indeed, the plotting of the shaitan was weak. Meaning that let it not scare you that they come with all these fortifications and weapons and prepared arguments. Let it not become great and magnificent in your eyes, for surely their plotting is nothing but fluff. For if you come to Allah and you come to His book and you contemplate the affair of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and that which He revealed in His book, and you dwell upon it and analyze it and think about it, then surely you will then come to learn the truth. And it will become clear before your eyes the arguments of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And then their debates and their arguments and their false misconstruing of events and facts will become clear before you, and it will all dissipate and disappear from before you. No matter how much they try to misinterpret things and how much they try to pull the wool over people's eyes, it will still remain clear for you. And then the author, he continues and he says, surely the layman from the people of Tawheed will overcome 1,000 from the scholars of these polytheists. Indeed, as Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَإِنَّ جُنْدَنَا لَهُمُ الْغَالِبُونَ. And surely it is our soldiers that will defeat them. So the Shaykh explains, he says, the layman from amongst the people of Tawheed, the people who truly believe in the oneness of Allah, in His Lordship, that He is the creator, the sustainer, and the sole provider and manager of all the affairs of all creation, and that He is the true deity worthy of worship alone, that no act of worship shall be given to other than He, and that he believes also in the oneness of Allah regarding His names and lofty attributes. This is an individual who has gained that knowledge and is from the layman. One of his type can overcome 1,000 from the disbelievers when it comes to the affairs of knowledge and debate. Because he is upon the fitrah, upon the inherent nature upon which Allah has created mankind, the fitrah of Tawheed, that he is upon the inherent nature of worshipping Allah alone, along with the fact that he is depending upon the Quran and the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, whilst they depend on nothing but false creeds, misconstrued words, and attempts to twist the truth around. It is all falsehood and fluff, and it can easily be refuted by even a layman. And so, the Shaykh clarifies, reciting from the words of the author, his words, فَجُنْدُ اللَّهِ هُمُ الْغَالِبُونَ. So the soldiers of Allah are the winners. They are the winners through sound, solid arguments on the tongue, as exactly they are the winners when it comes to the battlefield with the weapons and the swords. And the Shaykh comments, he says, the jihad, the striving against the enemies of Allah, is two types. There is the jihad of the tongue, and then there is the jihad of the weapons. The jihad of the words, and then there's the jihad of fighting in physical battle. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has surely named the first type jihad as well, which is to fight with words and arguments. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَجَاهِدُهُمْ بِهِ جِهَادٍ كَبِيرًا, and fight them with it a great fight, meaning fight them with the Qur'an a great fight. How do you fight with the Qur'an? You fight through its knowledge and through its established proofs. However, the author continues and he says, وَإِنَّمَا الْخَوْفُ, but rather the fear is exactly upon the one who is a man of tawheed, who seeks to go the path and with him is no weapon. Meaning, the man of tawheed, the man of monotheism, who has not fortified himself with knowledge, who has not prepared himself with weaponry of knowledge, and seeks the path to Allah without that, the fear is upon him. The fear is upon him. Why? Because he will not be ready to deal with these polytheists. He will not be ready to deal with the weapons that they have fortified themselves with, the misconstrued knowledge, the confusions, the debates, the eloquent words that are ornamented falsehood, nothing more, will actually fall upon him and make an effect upon him and make a dent in his heart. And then his heart will soak it up and drink it and he will fall into the fitna. We ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to save us. تفضلوا شيخ.
قال رحمه الله فلا يأتي صاحب باطل بحجة إلا وفي القرآن ما ينقضها ويبين بطلانها كما قال تعالى ولا يأتونك بمثل إلا جئناك بالحق وأحسن تفسيرا. قال بعض المفسرين هذه الآية عامة في كل حجة يأتي بها أهل الباطل إلى يوم القيامة. وأنا أذكر لك أشياء مما ذكر الله في كتابه جوابا لكلام احتج به المشركون في زماننا علينا. أي نعم بارك الله فيكم. هنا يقول المؤلف رحمه الله لا يأتي أحد من أهل الباطل بحجة يحتج بها على باطله إلا وفي كتاب الله دليل ينقض ويبطل حجته تلك. كما واستدل المؤلف بقوله تعالى ولا يأتونك بمثل إلا جئناك بالحق وأحسن تفسيرا. فلا يأتون بحجة ودليل يستدلون به إلا ويأتي الله سبحانه وتعالى بحجة تقضي على تلك الحجة ويبين الله سبحانه وتعالى الحق بها. أي نعم. بل قال بعض أهل العلم ما استدل أهل الباطل على باطلهم بدليل من الكتاب والسنة صحيح إلا وكان في هذا الدليل ما يبطل دليلهم وحجتهم. هذا ذكره شيخ الإسلام تيمية رحمه الله وهو كلام نفيس. إذا تأملت جيدا في حجة أهل البدع استطعت أن تقلب حجتهم عليهم، لأن الحق بين واضح ودليله أقوى من دليل الشبهة الباطلة. أي نعم. ثم يبدأ المؤلف رحمه الله بعد ذلك بالرد على أهل الشرك في زمنه الذين كانوا يحتجون بحجج على شركهم من آيات وحديث عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. وأخرج المؤلف رحمه الله من كتاب الله آيات ترد على شبهات هؤلاء القوم، ثم بدأ بالرد بطريقتين، الأولى مجملة والثانية مفصلة. نعم.
جزاكم الله خير شيخ بارك الله فيه. Had recited from the words of the author something that I skipped previously, a statement, and surely Allah has bestowed upon us from His great mercy His book that He made exactly as He said subhanahu wa ta'ala, a clarification for everything and a guidance and a blessing of mercy and glad tidings for the people of Islam. So the Shaykh had commented here that this is the gift of Allah upon us, that He gave us this book that is a clarification for everything. And so, one who fortifies himself with the knowledge of the Qur'an, he has the clarification of everything. Going back to what the Shaykh just explained, he said from the words of the author, so, never will a person of falsehood come with proofs and arguments, except that you will find in the Qur'an that which will abolish that falsehood. and that which will dismantle it and clarify its false nature. Exactly as Allah elevated as He said, وَلَا يَأْتُونَكَ بِمَثَلٍ إِلَّا جِئْنَاكَ بِالْحَقِّ وَأَحْسَنَ تَفْسِيرًا. And never will they come to you with an analogy, except that we will come to you and bring forth to you the truth, and even better, more eloquent in its explanation. Some of the scholars of tafsir commented at this verse. They said this verse is general regarding any argument that the people of falsehood will bring. From now until from the time of revelation until the day of judgment, you will find the refutation in the Quran. And I am going to mention, the author says, I am going to mention to you some of the things that Allah has mentioned in His book, and I will use them as answers to and refutations against some of that which the people of polytheism have used against us in this time of ours. The Shaykh comments, Jazahullah Khairan, he says that the author is telling us that surely you will never be met with the words of a person of falsehood, a person who attempts to confuse the truth and confuse the facts, except that you will find in the Quran that which refutes his claims and clarifies the falsehood that he's upon and crushes it and completely refutes it. Indeed, some of the people of knowledge have said, and this is actually mentioned by Shaykhul Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullahu ta'ala, that never will a person of falsehood use proof from the Quran and the authentic Sunnah to attempt to prove the falsehood that he is upon, except that that same evidence that he is using will actually contain his refutation. The Shaykh comments on these words of Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah. He says, and this is clear for one who actually contemplates the words of the people of falsehood, the people of innovation and innovated desires. When you contemplate the proofs that they bring forth, you will actually find that these proofs are against them, not for them. That these proofs will knock down and completely obliterate the falsehood that they are attempting to construct, that they cannot actually use it as proof, for it is proof against them. And this is because the truth is clear and has light upon it, whereas the batil is darkness and standing upon very thin legs. He then says, the author will then begin to refute the people of polytheism in his time, those who attempt to bring evidences from the Quran and the Sunnah to support that which they are upon. He will refute them from the Quran and the Sunnah, and he will show evidences that are both general and specific to the exact type of evil that they are upon. تفضل يا شيخنا.
اكتفي بهذا القدر حفظكم الله بارك الله فيكم
وإياكم حفظ شيخنا وفيكم بارك نسأل الله عز وجل يرفع قدركم وينفع بعلمكم
جزاكم خير
وإياكم شيخنا. شيخنا في يعني مجال قليل للأسئلة ولا؟
نعم تفضل وما في مشكلة إن شاء الله.
الله يزيد فضلكم. طيب شيخ، أنا عندي سؤال، سائل يسأل يعني فيما يتعلق بزمان الفتن وكذا. يقول عندنا يعني في بيوتنا أحيانا يكون بعض الأهل يتفرجون على التلفاز ويقعون في المعاصي وكذا، كيف الإنسان يتجنب هذه الفتن ويبتعد عنها، وكيف يعلم أهله إذا كان هذا الحال حتى داخل البيت؟
والله أول شيء إذا كان هو رب الأسرة فهو مسؤول عن أسرته هذه أمام الله سبحانه وتعالى. فالنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول كلكم راع وكلكم مسؤول عن رعيته، أي نعم. فالرجل راع في بيته وهو مسؤول عن رعيته، فالواجب عليه أن يكون حازما في هذه الأمور، وألا يدخل التلفاز على بيته أصلا، وأن يمنع ما يستطيع منعه من الفسق والفجور الذي يحصل في البيت. وأما إذا كان الشخص ليس هو رب الأسرة ولكن والده هو المسؤول، فهذا ما عليه إلا أن ينصح ويرشد بالكلمة الطيبة وبالرفق وباللين معهم ويبين لهم، فإن انتصحوا فالحمد لله، وإلا فيجتنب المجالس التي يكون فيها الفسق والفجور. يعني إذا كانوا يحضرون مثلا مسلسلا أو فيلما فيه شيء من الخلاعة وما شابه، فلا يجلس معهم في هذا الوقت ويجتنبهم فيه، أي نعم، إلى أن يفرج الله عنه ويخرج من هذا البيت ويفتح بيته المستقل. فالمهم النصيحة أولا، ثم اجتناب المعاصي واجتناب الناس في أوقات المعاصي وعدم مجالستهم فيها. نعم.
الله يبارك فيكم شيخنا. بالنسبة للمسألة التي عرضت عليك المرة الماضية، هل تبين فيها جواب آخر؟
نعم، العلماء قالوا هو يعني للترتيب، هذاك الحديث مذكور للترتيب، ولكن أشكل عليهم قضية الحوض، لأنه جاء في بعض الأحاديث أن الحوض يكون قبل ذلك، فبعضهم جمع بأن هناك حوضان، ولكن هذا بعيد قليلا، لعل الصواب أن الحوض يكون قبل ذلك، والله أعلم. نعم.
الله يبارك فيكم، جزاكم الله خير شيخنا. الله يعافيكم. طيب شيخ جزاه الله خيرا، شيخنا أحسن الله إليكم، ما نطيل عليكم، إحنا نترجم إن شاء الله. الله يبارك فيكم
أستاذ، جزاكم الله خير.
طيب طيب وإياكم شيخ، الله يبارك فيكم. Yeah, Sheikh Jazallah Khairan was asked the following question. How does an individual deal with these times of fitan, regarding the fitan that even encroach upon a man in his own residence, such that he will find his family at home engaging in sin and watching TV and so on and so forth? How can he avoid these fitan, avoid these tests and tribulations, and teach his family to be upon goodness? Sheikh Jazallah Khairan, he says, if this man is actually the head of the family and he is the father, then let him recognize that he has a responsibility before Allah and that he will be asked before Allah. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, each of you is a shepherd and each of you will be asked regarding his flock. And so a man is a shepherd and he will be asked about his flock. So he should not, to begin with, allow his family to have a TV. He should not have entered the TV and brought it home. And he should not completely prevent the sin from occurring in his home, and he should put his family upon righteousness and goodness and let him take a firm stance upon such an affair. If, however, he is not the lord of the family, he is not the head of the family, and it is his father's fault, for example, then there is nothing upon him except to give advice. So if this advice is accepted and he brings it with wisdom and it is accepted, then alhamdulillah, all praises to Allah. And if his advice is not accepted, then he has performed his duty, and it is upon him to remove himself from the situations that are fitna for him. So if, for example, they gather together to watch a movie or watch something on TV, at that time he gets up and leaves their company and he removes himself from that evil that is occurring, and be somewhere where there is no harm upon him. And this is until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestows upon him the ability to move where he does not have to remain with them in that house that contains these fitan, these tests and tribulations. He shall, in the meanwhile, before he moves out, he shall remove himself from the situations that will cause him harm in his deen. The Sheikh also added an explanation regarding the previous question from the last session regarding the hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam to the Sahabi who asked, "Where shall I meet you on the Day of Judgment?" Perhaps we will save that for another time. Jazakumullah khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.